Unit 3. Reading Passage. Who are you? This innocent question was asked by a little girl in the Philippines. She wasn't talking to a new classmate or teacher. The question was directed at her father, an engineer who had spent 10 years working in Saudi Arabia. The man spent so little time with his family that his daughter didn't even recognize him. He is one of the millions of people who have left their families behind to work abroad. Whereas labor-exporting countries can benefit from the practice, it also has serious drawbacks. Every region has countries which, because of high unemployment rates, experience labor flights. In Central America, Mexico and Nicaragua are significant labor exporters. In the Middle East, Lebanon and Jordan are top sources of workers. And in Asia, India and the Philippines are among the many labor-exporting countries. Top destinations tend to be in the same region for cultural, linguistic, and other reasons. However, if the salary is attractive enough, workers will contract to work a great distance from home. Common industries include construction, shipping, factory work, healthcare, and child-rearing. Financial considerations are the primary reasons for working abroad. Typically, expatriates send a large percentage of their salaries home in the form of remittances. The money benefits family members who, by buying things locally, also help their communities. These remittances can be a critical source of income. In 2008, overseas Filipinos sent home $16.4 billion, representing 11.6% of the country's GDP. Similarly, in Nicaragua, incoming remittances totaled 13% of GDP in 2008. However, there are problems with the labor exporting system. First are the costs. It's very expensive to go through an agency to set up the contract and necessary paperwork. In Vietnam, these fees are between $2,500 to $3,000, a fortune compared to the yearly per capita income of $1,024. Additional fees include applying for a passport and obtaining a health certificate. What's more, a percentage of workers' earnings go to the agency. Some are unscrupulous, taking advantage of workers by making them pay fees that weren't initially agreed to. Working conditions can also be problematic. It's not uncommon for laborers to toil 12 to 18 hours a day. In extreme cases, they suffer emotional, physical, or sexual abuse at the hands of their bosses. In 2009, Uganda barred women from working as maids in a number of countries after a 24-year-old woman returned home from Iraq. She had experienced severe physical abuse. In response to cases like these, governments and private groups have set up support centers. For example, Migrante International provides counseling and legal assistance for Filipinos working overseas. At their core, the underlying factors compelling labor migration need to be considered. Countries usually view the system as a short-term fix for economic problems. The hope is that as the domestic economy improves, workers will return home. Yet without concerted government and industry efforts to develop the local economy, countries tend to remain in poverty. Nations also experience a brain drain in which their best educated citizens go abroad. A study by the Scalabrini Migration Center interviewed a group of Filipino women who had traveled overseas to work. Some 50% were college educated, yet they left their country to work as maids or perform other non-skilled tasks. Finally, the overseas labor market is not immune to global downturns. In 2009, as several Middle Eastern economies sputtered, thousands of foreign workers were sent home. Such downturns can severely affect countries like India, which has some 5 million workers in the Persian Gulf. Still, the trend to export laborers is expected to grow, thanks to the ongoing integration of the global economy. As that happens, it's important that the rights of workers be protected, both by the sending and receiving countries.